So the question is this: how can entrepreneurs like us remain profitable while having a lean physique, optimal focus, and incredible relationships? That's the question. This podcast will give you the answer. My name is Nate Palmer, and welcome to the Million Dollar Body. Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Million Dollar Body podcast, the intersection of physical and financial success. I'm Nate Palmer. And if you're here, it's probably because you're a high performer, an entrepreneur, or a business owner that's interested in gaining an unfair advantage in your life using fitness and nutrition as force multipliers. So if you're not already part of the Facebook community, definitely go to n8trainingsystems.com/group to check it out there. That's where we stream these podcast episodes generally. You can join in and ask questions. There's a ton of cool stuff happening in the group, as well as a massive amount of free resources. Again, go to n8trainingsystems.com to join us there. I'm really, really excited today because today we are chatting with Christian Loverich. He is solo serial entrepreneur, advertising and digital media expert, podcast host, YouTube celebrity, all of the above. He's currently on a mission not only to help businesses scale from 6 to 7 to 8 figures or higher, but to harness the full power of Facebook ads through innovative marketing strategies and from keeping you from getting your account banned, which is something that I'm currently very salty about. Christian, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate seeing you, man.
Thanks for having me, Nate. I appreciate it, man. I love doing these things. So we're good.
Dude, so I'm really excited to dive in because I feel like for myself and a lot of other people who are kind of in this like solopreneur, a couple different employees in their business, trying to build up like an expert business, coaching, consulting, courses, things like that. We think advertising, we think Facebook ads. Right. Like that's kind of just like the natural thing. We're not thinking like, how do I advertise in like the New York Times anymore? So right. I'm really pumped to dive in. But can you tell me a little bit about like how you got your start as like a digital marketing expert? Can you talk about a little bit about like a Pixel Feed Radio?
Podcast? Yeah. I can talk about it. Cool. I'll give you the short story because it's kind of a long story, but I'll make it as short as I can. So long story short, I had my first real, quote unquote, brick and mortar business when I dropped out of college. That lasted until the economy crashed in 2009. But I come from a background of an entrepreneur family, sales, and a little bit of marketing. You know, back then, we're talking about the early 2000s where, yeah, there was Google, but it wasn't accessible to the point where like, oh yeah, I'm going to put ads on Google. Like I knew I had to do something with it at some point, but it wasn't my main focus because I was getting sales and I had plenty of clients doing it old school, you know, like old school marketing with print and, you know, networking, TV, papers, all that stuff. I was young and dumb. I was a kid. I made a lot of money really fast and I was spending it as fast as it was coming in. And then the economy crashed in 2009. And at that point I had to make a decision. You know, I was dumb. I didn't make, you know, extra investments, too many investments, and I had to figure out what to do. So basically I paid off all the money that I owed to like employees and stuff like that. I decided to shut down the company at that point because there was so much outstanding money out there that I knew I wasn't going to get paid because everybody was crashing too. So I was like, screw it. Actually at this point I was in Texas. It was Dallas, Texas. I left Florida State, went to Dallas, Texas to do the business. And then I was just going, you know what? I'm going back to Florida. I missed the beach. And then, my best friend that I met when I moved to the States when I was 13 and we lived together in college at Florida State. And we always been really close. He's like, dude, come back to Florida, man. Come on. You got the network here. You can do something when you come back. So came back to Florida, Fort Lauderdale. And then, you know, I've been gone for a while. So I forgot how much wealth it's in South Florida. So as soon as I got back, I went from this rut of like feeling bad for myself and not knowing what to do and just like being lazy. I was really being lazy. I was drinking a lot to like, all right, I got to get my shit together, man. Like everybody here has a Lambo, a Ferrari, there's like mansions and, you know, there's a lot of old school money down here. So that got me back in gear, man. And, but I didn't start a business right away. I just wanted to get back in the groove of things because I was living for a year of money that I had saved. And I actually got an opportunity to do sales and marketing for this like company that was getting their start. They were already established online. So I was like, okay, that sounds like fun. And, you know, I'm not going to start something just to start something. So I was like, it piqued my interest. And, you know, the money was decent. So I was like, all right, sure, I'll do it for a little bit until I figure out what I really want to do, until I get a real good idea. So I went in there. Everything started great. Loved it. They own two websites. And I can't tell you what it is because I don't want to talk shit and then get in trouble or get sued or something. But long story short, we were working together, started doing really well with them. I really actually liked it. I was really enjoying it. And then I started to get a feel for what like SEO was. And then this is when Facebook was starting to blow up. And I'm like, I used to tell them, like, we need to do Facebook. We need to do Facebook. And they wouldn't listen to me because I was in the sales side of things, not so much on the internet side of things. And long story short, we got in, we had they tried to screw me over essentially. So they screwed me over out of like a lot of money that they owe me. So I was like, F you, I'll start my own, compete with you and destroy you. So I did, but didn't destroy them because I was just cocky and they were already well-established companies, which they're still around to this day. So good for them. But I did make a lot of money with what I learned there in the same niche. And then I started discovering the world. I ran into a course from a friend, from somebody who's a friend of mine now, Don Wilson, who put out a course when it first became public, when Facebook ads first became public. And I still remember I paid $300 for it. And the reason I came across this course is because someone said something and somehow I saw the post while I was scrolling through Facebook on my desktop, because they didn't have the app back then. So, I was on my desktop. So it just happened that the world aligned perfectly for me to sit down before I was going to go out that night. And I checked Facebook, just out of habit. And I saw somebody commenting on that post when the newsfeed was in real time. It wasn't an algorithm. So the chances of that, it was meant to be, man. So I saw the course. I was like, $300? Yeah, totally. I'll buy it. And then that's when I started learning, about digital marketing, online marketing, and started discovering all the greats and went deep. I started with my launching stores, brands, I blew up three of them. Sold two. I still have one, which I'm about to sell. And I started a fourth brand in October of last year. And actually, I'm showing that on the YouTube channel. I'm keeping track of that, which if you know what's going on with Facebook right now, with iOS 14, it was not the perfect time to launch a brand. But, you pivot and you deal with it. And then in between, people started asking me for help. So I opened the agency side of things, a boutique agency, meaning that it's small. I don't take too many clients. Just, I can probably count them with two hands, and they're people I enjoy working with, and they're not my main source of income. And, we run their ads, we help them with all their marketing and help them grow to, big, huge, successful brands. So that's where I'm at right now. And then I have the YouTube channel and Pixel Feed Radio, which is a podcast.
It sounds like if I had to sum that whole story up in a word, it'd be pivot. Sounds like you've kind of made all these little adjustments along the way that have put you in positions to be able to capitalize on use and use your knowledge and like take advantage of the market. Like, like stuff happening in 2009 is forcing you to close your brick and mortar business, that having having a great business, but then they try to screw you out of the money that owed you. So you had to pivot again, but you started your own thing. I also like that you admitted that they're still around, because I feel like that story is normally like, and then I crushed them and they're homeless now. And their kids don't have any food.
No, they're a behemoth of a company. I didn't know it at the time because, I knew that they had traction, but, I didn't know what I know now. Good for them. If I probably saw them in the street, be like, hey, what's up? If it wasn't for you pissing me off, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. So, it's
true.
And I feel like still pissed off the money they owe me, but it's things happen for a reason, man. Things happen for a reason. So,
right. Just like you run into that Facebook ad on the thing on the feed before it was the feed. And then,
listen, you want to hear another crazy story? I was supposed to go to Europe for a year and I couldn't get my passport renewed because I used to be a Venezuelan citizen. That's where I moved from, to the States. And if you know what's going on down there, it's a mess. It's a dictatorship now. And long story short, I was trying to renew my passport and I wasn't a US citizen yet. And I couldn't renew it. And I had the tickets to go to Europe. And I literally met my wife a few days before I was supposed to go to Europe. So if I would have gone to Europe for a year, I would have probably never met her. And we wouldn't be married today. It's crazy. You never know, man. It's crazy.
And you also don't ever know when you're in the moment. I think that a lot of times entrepreneurs, we're like, we're going through some shit. It's like, oh man, like this is the worst ever. I got my Facebook account banned. Like we had a really down month. All my clients fell off. But those situations, I think, forge those stories that you're talking about. You just told like three or four of them. You wouldn't be in this place if it wasn't for that economic downturn of 2008, 2009. Like you wouldn't have the success you've had in your own marketing agency, growing your own YouTube channel, which by the way, guys, I'll put that in the show notes. It's excellent. If you have any questions, digital marketing stuff, you need to check out the YouTube channel. But you wouldn't have those stories if you got in that moment, Christian, and were like, fuck it, I quit. Like, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, you know? I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, there was days where I wanted to quit. I mean, it's just, I guess it's human nature. At one point you get fed up with it and you want to quit, but.
Wait, entrepreneurship is not all like sunshine and rainbows?
No, no.
This is my surprise list.
It's literally, who said it best? I think it was, I think Elon said it's like being an entrepreneur is like chewing on glass daily. So I like that one a lot. And then Gary Vee, which, you know, Gary Vee, I love Gary Vee, but sometimes it's too much. Like, you know, it's like, he does mean well. And everybody that I know, by the way, anybody that I know personally that have met the guy, like that have him on speed dial, they say he's the nicest guy ever. So I don't want to talk shit about him, but it's sometimes it's too much for me because I'm not a motivational person. But anyway, he said it best too. He's like, you know, everybody sees like the jets and shit, but they don't see how much shit you eat and, you know, like the 14 hours of the day before that or something along those lines. I really like it when he says that.
I don't know if it was him or someone else, but it's like being an entrepreneur is like getting kicked in the nuts on a daily basis and seeing how often you can get back up.
It is like, you know, every day when I wake up, it's like, all right, what am I going to deal with today? Whether it's Facebook, whether it's, you know, stupid stuff like, you know, my credit card got stolen, you know, and I got to call the bank and get a new credit card or, you know, like, or somebody, I don't know, can't get something done. There's so many things that happen all the time, but it's just, you just deal with it. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't have it any other way, man. I'm a masochist, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs will work 14 hours a day to avoid working 8 hours a day for somebody else, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I've told my wife before, it's like, I sometimes wish I was wired a different way where I was like, okay, I'm going to go to my 9 to 5 today and I'm going to be happy for the rest of my life. And that's it. And I have friends like that who are very successful. Like, the guy told you, like my best friend who told me to come back to Fort Lauderdale, you know, he's a wealth advisor. He's does fantastic, but he works like literally like now, you know, now we're in our 40s, but he's been doing it since he graduated college. So 23, but now he works like 4 hours a day, but he earned it. I remember when he had to work 16 hours a day on the phones, trying to get clients when he's 23 years old. He's like, let me manage millions of dollars that you have. Like, yeah, let me just hand over my portfolio to a 23-year-old, you know? It's like, so he put in the work too. So he can enjoy it now.
That's cool. And I love hearing the success stories of like, I think we also like compare ourselves, like our phase one with someone else's like phase three kind of down the road where they're like, you're like, well, how come he gets to work 20, like 4 hours a day? And you're like, because you didn't see him working 16 over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's always a good reminder.
It's my best friend, man. I remember him like being on the phones like 12 hours a day, like Wolf of Wall Street type of shit, you know? But it's a legit, you know, wealth management company, like, you know, obviously. But yeah, he put in the work, man, and he earned it. So now he works like 4 hours a day. He has his own book of clients he's been working on forever, you know, like close to 20 years now, you know? So.
Christian, your stories are incredible. And I feel like I want to hear you just tell stories the entire time, but like, since you're here and you are a wealth of knowledge about digital marketing, I want to ask you some of like, focus questions on that.
Go for it.
Really like try to extract as much information from your brain as possible. But
yeah,
go ahead. Most of the people who are going to be listening to this are kind of in that kind of course creation, content creator type of environment where the tendency is going to be to like, I do it all myself. I'm the marketing person. I'm the sales person. I'm the delivery person. I'm the everything person. At what point does someone like that need to switch into paid advertising rather than trying to go like grind out organic?
Okay. So it used to be that you could just, you know, when I started, just crank up the ads and go, and it was like butterflies, man. It was amazing. Right. Unfortunately, with everything that's going on with iOS 14, if you're starting out, it's going to be very, very difficult. Now you can still use ads. You just got to be smart about it. All right. I wouldn't recommend it. Most of you are selling like a course or private coaching or anything like that. I'm assuming that you're at least charging, you know, $500 just to put a number, or at least $100, $150, something, right? to start a blank ad account, a brand new ad account, especially on Facebook right now, I'm going to tell you right now, you are not even going to break even because you don't have enough data. It's not going to happen. So you got to get smart with this. So I hate to say, you know, I hate to sound like somebody else, but you got to create content. You really do. I mean, you really do. I know it's there's days you don't want to do it. I know that it can be, you know, a pain in the ass, but you have to do it. Listen, there's days, there's weeks I don't feel like doing a Facebook, a YouTube video, but I still do it because I know I got to do it. So what I would recommend is the most important thing, if you're being a course creator or, you know, you're going to do private coaching or anything like that, it's the list. The thing that's most valuable to you, it's going to be your email list. Because with a list, you can always make an offer and you can always make money on the back end. And guess what? If you get kicked off Facebook, you get kicked off YouTube, you get kicked out of anywhere, if you have your list, you can send an email out and make money back. And it's just numbers, right? If a list has 100,000 people, if you have 100,000 people on your list, right? And you send an email out and you're trying to make an offer for, I don't know, $100, $97, $100, right? And only 20% of that list opens that email. That's okay. That's a good, decent open rate. All right. So now we're up to 20%. If 1% of those people click that link and take you up on that offer, you make 20 grand. See, the problem is like people don't focus on these things. You got to break down the numbers. And once you start seeing the numbers, it starts making sense, right? So what I will do right now, yeah, I will run ads, but I will concentrate on building my email list first and start making offers on the back end. Because if you try to go for the purchase right now in the environment that we're in with a brand new account, you're not going to make it. You're just not. You're throwing money away. You can try YouTube ads. YouTube ads do very well for that type of stuff. But I hope you know what you're doing, or you hire somebody who knows what they're doing, and they're probably going to be able to get your results. But the other thing you have to test, you have to test your funnel, right? Did you build your funnel? You got to test A and B. So, you know, I build funnels before when I look at them, and, you know, I have one that I call ugly, which is just super basic. And then I make this beautiful thing, but like my graphic designers go and make it look amazing. And then I run traffic to it and the shitty one wins every time. It's like, so you can't get emotionally attached to your funnels. So you have to test everything. I will highly recommend, you know, going to where eyes are right now. I mean, TikTok has been blowing up for the past like year and a half, 2 years. It's still very open organically. So if you're going in there doing two videos a day, you can get so much traffic to whatever it is that you're pushing. You know, another strategy that you can do where you don't have to spend money on ads, it's you can do what's called influencer seeding. And I actually learned this from the guys at an agency called Kinship, K-Y-N-S-H-I-P. They actually, you know, I learned this from them. And one of the guys' name is Taylor Legace, L-E-G-A-C-E. And they specialize in what's called influencer seeding. And they have a process where you find, you know, you use software and you can find influencers that are in your niche, and you gift them whatever it is that you want to push. But you don't ask them like for a paid promotion or anything like that. You just reach out to them and be like, hey, I really love your stuff. I love your style. I love what you're doing. Here, I have this thing that I've been working on. I just want you to check it out and, you know, for free. It's yours. Here, have it. No strings attached. Whatever you do with it, that's your own. What's your address? And you'll be amazed how many people will get back to you and be like, yeah, totally, send it over. And then you'll be amazed how many people, if it's a quality product and they really like it and it matches, you know, your product with the right influencer, they'll post about it multiple times. And then you'll get a wave of traffic, man. It's insane. You know, it's like dating. You know, I learned this from these guys. It's like dating. You can't just ask for it, you know, for what you want right away. With, you know, if you're going to date as a guy, you know what you want at the end of the night, right? You can't ask for it. You got to be nice about it. You got to date. So it works really well. So, I mean, I will probably do that, emphasize on that right now on top of, you know, maybe some simple lead generation ads to fill up your list and then do everything on the back end.
So what you're saying is basically like start organic, go where the eyeballs are at. TikTok right now, some like using influencers to make sure that like you're getting eyeballs and traffic in the most organic, authentic way possible before you start a new ad account or dive into advertising. Yeah. But then once you start advertising, A, you got to have the right product. So you're doing more than breaking even. So you have the right product, the right price. And then you want to make sure that you're just using like the ads to build your list first. So you're not just being like, hey, thanks for visiting my website. Do you want my $1,000 coaching package? Yeah. People are gonna be like, absolutely not. Right. So start them off with like a kind of like building that relationship, just dating, send them some flowers, deliver some nice chocolates, be like, you look super pretty today. Yeah. And then continue to build a relationship until you close it in an email.
Yeah. So build a lead magnet, bring them in, and then, do content. I do it on my list. Like if you sign up for my list, it's like 2 value emails full of content. And then I ask for the sale. My email list, there's a bunch of affiliate offers for where I make money on the back end. And, it's no secret, but it's stuff that I use personally. I don't push anything that I don't use. So it's on there. I mean, it's up to you if you want to do it or not, but I'm offering value throughout the whole sequence. Another thing that you can do if you're trying to save up money and you don't want to start, spending like crazy with ads that you don't know if they're going to work, if it's a proven offer, you can get a software called Conversion AI. And I think the smallest plan right now, I got it when it first came out. So I don't even know what it costs now, because I'm gonna be honest, I get it for free because I have an affiliate account. But I think it's like $100 a month, maybe $100 a month. And then they have like a quote unquote boss mode. And I think the boss mode, it's like 150, I want to say. So for those of you that don't know what this is basically AI that writes for you. And if you get the boss mode, you can literally just tell it what you want to write about and it will literally pump out a blog for you, right? And then if you get another software called AHERFS, right? That's an SEO software. You get that. I think that one's $100 a month. It'll tell you what keywords people are searching for in your field. So do you see where I'm getting at here? So if you pull up what people are searching for in Google related to your niche and you grab Conversion AI, and you put a blog based on that with 1,000 words, minimum of 1,000 words, using those keywords on your website, guess what? And you pump out one a day, which takes you literally half an hour at the most with Conversion AI. I think they call it Jarvis now, actually. Jarvis, J-A-R-V-I-S. You put up a blog every day. Dude, in 3 months, you're gonna start getting so much organic traffic that if people are not converting, then the issue is the funnel and your offer is not matching up the audience. And that's free. I mean, essentially it's $200 a month. Like if you're not willing to put $200 a month for at least 3 months to get some organic traffic going, and then you shouldn't be in this business, because that's what I'm doing right now. Like my new store, the new brand that I just told you about, usually what I do is like, I crank it up with ads, but I was like, ads are too expensive right now because I don't have enough data. So I was like, I'm not in a hurry. So we went heavy on the SEO, which I was going to do at some point anyway. So we started SEO, now we started to get organic traffic. And guess what? Organic traffic never goes away. Because people are always going to be searching for something on Google, Bing, or whatever.
So you started a store, like a kind of like an e-commerce site. Correct. And then you have like a blog section of that site where you're using the Jarvis and then the other site, which I forgot the name of it.
AHERFS.
Okay.
Yeah. It's an SEO service. Tells you exactly what
you're using,
you need to do.
AHREFS or whatever. And then mm-hmm. you're using Jarvis mm-hmm. to find keywords, write blog posts using like the top keywords in there, publishing one per day to your site, getting a ton of organic traffic and just selling a product off that site.
Mm-hmm.
Then like, I mean, I hope people here are like taking notes on this, because you're just like putting money in people's pockets.
I should be charging for this.
You literally should be. And it's also too late now. So
yeah, I know. It's okay.
But it's all right. We'll put that sign up link for your email sequence in the show notes here. Cause that was gold. Like what you just said there, like that's incredible. I'm going to wrap this up right now. We don't need to say anything else. Cause that was absolutely insane. I want to talk about like fitness and more advertising stuff, but like, holy shit, Christian.
And by the way, hold on. You don't have to do one a day either. I mean, you can do like 3 a week or, one a week. I mean, I'm just saying one a day if you really want to go hard, but it's going to take 3 months for it to kick in, because Google has to index you and all this stuff has to go on the back end. But
does one a day increase the speed of like the uptake in the SEO? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right. Well, I feel like I got my next business model like already like kicking around in the back of my head right now.
Yeah, I can see like the epiphany going on in your head right now. You're getting that twinkle in your eyes.
Hold on, man. I got to take a second, write some stuff down. I got these thoughts.
Yeah.
Dude, that's bananas right now. So like I know you just opened up a new e-commerce site, but like kind of with where we're at and with some of like the political, like international turmoil type stuff we have going on, supply chain issues, Bitcoin's really hot. Where do you see like the next wave of like an explosion coming from? Like if I could invest
digital.
In a company, digital
NFTs and crypto. It's with the metaverse being here. I mean, Zuck's not the only one building a metaverse. There's a few out there already that are decentralized. So if you really want to be ahead of the game, you still are ahead of the game if you jump in now. Like NFTs, I will look into NFTs that have that are like a character in a game that the team is developing, you know, or like there's a good team behind it. A lot of people say, oh, just go out there and buy what you like, it makes you happy, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, that's cool. Buy whatever makes you happy. But I'd rather you buy something that makes you happy and makes you a lot of money on the back end. So do your research. Don't just buy NFTs because they look pretty. It's about the technology behind it. It's not so much the JPEG. That's what you got to think of. People don't realize that. And the people that talk shit are the ones that don't know how it works. So think of video games. All right. Kids go in video games and they spend all this money just for a skin for their gun in CSGO or like a skin on Fortnite or whatever. That's what an NFT is. But whoever creates it gets money from every sale on forward for the rest of their lives. So that's why you have these massive teams building like this virtual reality worlds and games. So if you own it at one point and you sell it, or you always make money off of it, royalties, like an artist, you know? So I could talk about it for hours. That's where you need to be at, keeping an eye on.
Damn. So like, yeah. We don't have hours, but people are going to need to be checking out your YouTube channel to be able to catch up on some of this stuff, because you're absolutely blowing minds right now. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Appreciate the value you're bringing, man. So like, you obviously are a really busy person. You have a lot going on. It sounds like you spin a ton of plates all at once. You got a lot on your mind. How do you balance that? What's your self-care look like? How does that help in regard to like, you know, obviously you're not like a professional athlete, but you need to have like the mental capacities and like the mental acuity to stay focused on all these things you're balancing at all times. How do you do that? And what's your routine look like?
Okay. So, all right. So I'm 41 now, all the way from high school, 20s, 30s, 35. I mean, I think that's when I started slowing down with the drinking and the partying. Like Listen, at heart, I love to go out and have a good time. And I mean, in South Florida is the place to do it. So, but it got to a point where my body just couldn't handle it anymore. You know what I mean? Like, and I was, I quit smoking when I was 30, when I turned 30, I used to smoke 2 packs of Reds a day. And that's when I started working
around.
Out. Huh?
Not playing around with Reds.
No, man. I started smoking at a very early age. I think I was like 13, 14. And, you know, I was one of those guys who used to go clubbing every night and drinking every night with my friends. And so I quit smoking when I was 30. And then I started working out. That's when P90X blew up. And that was my introduction to fitness. You know, I was like, okay, I'm going to be healthy now because I'm getting a gut now that my metabolism's slowing down. Right. So that, you know, I learned a lot from that. And after that, I started going to the gym 5 to 6 times a week. I just look up online, like different workouts and stuff like that. But I was still eating like here and there, blah, 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 you know? And then I started learning more about how to eat healthy. And then, you know, once I got together with my wife and all that, you know, she cooks all the time. So it's a lot healthier and not going out so much, but I go through stages where like, I eat like crap and then I got to get back in check. For example, she was just pregnant. She just had my second child a month ago. And during the pregnancy, we were eating like crap, man. Like every craving she had, I was eating cupcakes, ice cream, burgers, you know, you name it. And I gained, I think it was like 18 pounds or something like that. But the good thing is like, I was still going to the gym 5 to 6 times a week. So as soon as she had the baby, I don't have time to cook. She doesn't have time to cook. And I actually found a local place that cooks meals for you, keto meals for you. And I've been doing it for like, since the baby was born, man, I love it. I'm down to like 201 trying to get back down to 195. And that's it. I just eat the meals, drink lots of water throughout the day, and no soda, none of that stuff. And, you know, I just keep working out.
Well, congrats on the baby, man. That's awesome.
Thanks.
I appreciate you being here, even though you haven't slept in 2 months. That's like, wow, what a guy.
Well, actually, I sleep more than she does. Trust me on that. I'm the one who has to feed him at night.
My baby's 8 months old, so I'm feeling you right now. Like, we're kind of out of the woods. Like, he's sleeping through the night.
Right.
Which means that she's less tired, but I'm still fine. So.
Right.
So it sounds like your non-negotiable was you hit the gym. You know how it makes you feel. You know that's important to you for physical and mental health.
Yeah.
And then, like, during the pregnancy, like, yeah, stuff happens. You know, you got to eat Taco Bell when you got to eat Taco Bell. There's got to be a blizzard in there somewhere. And now that that's over, you actually have outsourced the important thing that neither you nor her have time for, getting some meals, focusing on the things that you can control, hitting the gym, drinking enough water, and just eating the meals that are brought to you. You're keeping it super simple. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I do take, a bunch of vitamins and supplements in the morning. And then I'll do creatine like every 2 months, you know, if I want to bulk up a little bit, but that's about it. I mean, I keep it very simple. You know, I'm not looking to have like a 6-pack or 8-pack. As long as I got to feel comfortable, you know, that's my main goal. And energy wise, that's the other thing, man. Another reason why I slowed down in the drinking as I got older, it's down to the point now where I have to pick and choose the battle of how I want to feel the next day. Because I can tell you right now, if I go out, actually, I'll tell you right now, Sunday, I went out to a brewery and I had 5 beers and I had chicken wings. And that was my first cheat day in 2 months because I wanted to get back in shape. And Sunday, I mean, I wasn't like hungover dying, but I mean, I felt it, you know, I had that lingering headache.
Yeah.
I was tired. Just, you know, it was a waste of a day. So now it's like, you know, I go a long time without drinking now. And if I drink, it's like, I take it easy, man, because it's just not worth it anymore.
Yeah, I hear you. And I think that like the distinction there is like, it's not about what do I want to do right now? Because I probably want to have 6 White Claws and a Cinnabon. Like that sounds incredible, like a great afternoon.
Yeah.
But like, how am I going to feel after that? Well, I'm not going to get anything done after, you know, having a big, heavy meal. And if I drink tonight, I'm not going to be feeling my best tomorrow. So when I show up on my podcast or do whatever, like I'm going to be kind of a sack of shit. So like, I love the question rather than being like, what do I want? Because how do I want to feel? What's next for me? And what's my input to make me show up in a big way there?
And even with food, man, I'm telling you, even with food, like, you know, when I was eating a lot of sugar when she was pregnant, like cupcakes and ice cream and stuff and donuts, you know, those are a big thing, donuts. Like you just feel groggy the next day when you eat healthy all the time. And really like you don't have like not everything's not firing in all cylinders. And, you know, I deal with numbers all day, whether it's like, you know, it's ad accounts, like multiple ad accounts. And I have to look at like, you know, ad to cart ratio or like cost per purchase. And I mean, one little number can throw the whole account off. So I have to be sharp, you know, I have to be able to do math on the spot. And, you know, again, being 41, when you have a few drinks the night before and you don't eat healthy, you're just not firing on all cylinders, if that makes sense. And I like having that advantage when there's nothing better than waking up in the morning full of energy and just opening your eyes and go. Totally. I mean, I love it. You know, I love how I feel in the morning when I wake up.
And you wake up and it's like 6 a.m. and you're like, all right, let's do this. Like, that's like the best feeling ever, right?
Versus
like the groggy rolling out of bed.
Once I changed my you know, once I slowed down on the partying and the bad eating and all that stuff, I stopped using an alarm clock. My body was just like, you go to bed between, it really depends. There's some nights I'll pass out at 11 and there's most nights that I don't go to bed till 1. And by 7, my eyes are wide open, ready to go. Like no alarm clock, no nothing. And there's times I'll wake up at 5, you know, just depending on my body wants to wake up. It's crazy.
And there's a time when your baby's like, hey, everyone's up at 2:30. You know,
yeah,
like,
exactly. As long as I get those like 4 to 6 hours, I'm good to go, man. Well, more 6 hours than 4, but as long as I get that full stretch, I'm good to go.
I like what you said though, about like, once you start eating clean, like it's crazy what happens when you don't eat clean. Cause like, I think so many people walk around like literally with the flu, like they look and feel like they have the flu. They're always like congested and stuff like that because they just eat dog shit all the time, but they don't realize it because that's just normal. Well, then once you elevate yourself, you start eating really, really healthy. You start exercising and stuff like that. And then you have one day where you're like eating some pizza, it's football, nachos, whatever else. And you didn't even drink and you wake up with a food hangover. Like it's very eye opening. So I appreciate you bringing that up. especially since you don't have a athletic job, but you are a high performance individual and you understand that fitness and nutrition give you that advantage to be able to be better at your job than other people.
And I can tell you right now, man, I'm not the type of person, and you know, all my friends know this. Like, I personally don't love going to the gym and working out. Like, to me, in my head, while I'm at the gym, I feel like I'm wasting time, but I get through it and it's just part of my routine. It's just, that's part of my day. And it's been part of my day for 11 years now since I was 30. So
what time do you train at?
I usually go like around 10 to break up the day a little bit. Nice, so, okay. You know, I'll wake up in the morning, have coffee with no sugar. And then I'll eat like, you know, a small breakfast, like a 9:30. Yeah. And I get to the gym at 10. I'm there for an hour and I'm out, you know, back to work. But, you know, I go in there and it's like, I just do what I feel like doing. And I have like certain, I change everything a little bit, you know, around throughout the week. And that's it. I don't have like a crazy, you know, regimen. And I've done stuff like Orange Theory. I like Orange Theory, but it's like, I can't stand cardio. So after a while, my knees are bad too. So, you know, all that running like really gets to my knees. So I'd rather just lift weights and eat healthy.
Yeah. I don't really want to have someone yell at me while I'm on a treadmill. Like exactly. My brain would just explode, you know? So, yeah. Well, dude, like last question before we go, like one thing I was curious is that like, let's say people who are listening are like, yo, I want to be Christian. Like this dude, it sounds like he's got,
you don't want to be me.
Got the business I'm looking for, you know, like it just like, it sounds like you got it figured out is what it sounds like. And I know, I mean, that's like that's 30 minutes on a podcast, but like,
yeah.
What advice would you give to someone or like yourself, you know, when you were 25, what would you go back and say to yourself as you're starting off to like, if you were like, hey, I want to push you in the right direction.
One thing that I'm going to do with my kids, because I thought about this a lot, actually, because I made a lot of mistakes in my 20s and, you know, I thought I knew it all and I didn't. And even though my dad he's a very smart person, he did things a different way. And there's a lot that he taught me that I wish he did, you know, so I would have been successful at an earlier age. Again, I told you how big of a partier I was. So that was a big distraction. I'm not gonna lie. I could have done a lot more at an earlier age if I just focused. And I think part of that, it was because his generation was a different generation than ours or mine. So what I've been doing is, you know, every single book that I've read, that has helped me improve my knowledge or of whether it's finance, marketing, sales, you know, I used to think I was a natural salesperson because I was in sales and marketing my whole life. Well, I was not. It turns out I'm not. When I started reading all these books from all the greats, I did the research of all the greats are in their field and I started reading all their books. And what I do now is I read at least two or three books a month, whether it's audio or actually reading them. And I actually have a list that I made of each niche. So I have sales, I have self-improvement, I have finance, I have investments, I have marketing, and then I have like sales funnels and then all the stuff that I do for a living, you know, e-commerce and stuff like that. So what I'm going to hand them to them is I'm going to hand them that list and have them read them from an early age. So if you're just starting out, the best thing that you can do is start reading and becoming obsessed with whatever your niche is. That's what I did. It has to be an obsession. If it's not an obsession, you're not going to be successful at it. You have to breathe it, live it 24/7. And it doesn't have to be like forcing yourself to do it. It has to be like, oh, I'm going to do this today. And it's awesome. You know what I mean? There's bad things that go with it. There's tedious things that you don't want to do because that happens to me too. But eventually I just outsource that shit. You know, it's like, I don't deal with it. But the bulk of it, you have to enjoy. And part of that, you should be able to pick up a book, whether it's listening to it on audio. And I do 80% of my reading on audio and then I'll kind of flip through the book. I buy the book physically and then I have the book too. So I can go back to it and just kind of flip through it. Become obsessed with your niche and find who the best people are at your niche. And I can assure you, most of them have books. Read those books. And then you go down the rabbit hole and then just keep going from there.
Love it. Amazing advice. So in summary, basically figure out what you love to do. What can you read about all the time? Then figure out who the best people in the world and then read their shit. Like everyone, books are magical, right? There's like a way of like taking someone who's got all these thousands of hours of experience and they've written them down for us. Like just dive into that, start there. Because if you're a big reader, you're going to make more money. You're going to be a better entrepreneur. You're going to be just more interesting to talk to in general. So
YouTube. I mean, you know, like me, I give it all away on YouTube. I don't care. Because I don't make money off courses. So, YouTube for me is more of social proof for clients. That's why I did it, you know, and that, and then I threw, you know, my affiliate stuff in there just because why not? But, you know, there's so much information on YouTube, man. I find stuff on there that, you know, that I'm sometimes I need answers to, you know, all the greats have YouTube channels now. So trust me, the information is out there. You just got to go deep with it and make sure you keep learning. Don't ever stop learning. That's all I can tell you.
Love it. Christian, thank you so much for being here today, man. Absolutely. I really appreciate you coming here, dropping some serious knowledge on us. And I'll continue to put some of the show notes, like the YouTube channel, your like an email list, opt in there into the show notes. But is there any other way people can stay in touch with you, get in touch with you, find you on this, on the internets?
Yeah, I'm on every platform. So, I mean, you probably get a hold of me first on my Facebook business page, because I don't touch Instagram. I don't have time for it. So it's like, that's another thing. Pick a channel and stick to that channel that you're good at. Then the stuff you can outsource it later, but you know, I'm not too worried about it stuff. So if you want to get a hold of me, you can definitely my Facebook business page. I'll see that message.
Legit. Awesome, brother. Thank you so much for everything. We'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Hey, I hope that episode was helpful for you. If you liked it, there are three ways that you can start activating your fat loss results right now. Number one, join the community. Go to n8trainingsystems.com/group to get in there. Grab the book. Go to amazon.com and look for the $1 million body method or search for Nate Palmer. And number three, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to these so we can bring on more influential guests and bring those lessons back to you here.